Chapter 3. Fire in the Palace. The Emperor and the inhabitants of Lilliput were excited to see me arrive in the port with all of their enemies' warships pulled behind me. The Emperor gave me the title of Nardak, which is the highest title of honor among them. Soon after this, however, the Emperor informed me that he would like me to bring all the rest of his enemy ships into his port. He seemed to want to make the whole empire of Blefuscu into part of Lilliput, to destroy all the big Indians, as the people of Blefuscu were called, and to force people to break the smaller end of their eggs, by which he would be the only emperor of the whole world. I attempted to change his mind about this, and protested that I did not wish to bring free people into slavery. This decision of mine was so opposite to the plans and the desires of the emperor that he could never forgive it. He mentioned it to his council, where some men, who were my secret enemies, agreed with his statements. A while later, I was woken at midnight by the cries of many people at my door. The people begged me to come immediately to the palace, where the emperor's apartment was on fire. I walked quickly to the palace, careful not to step on any people. Ladders had already been put against the walls, and the people were using buckets full of water to try to put out the fire. But the water was far away, and the buckets were too small. The situation seemed hopeless, and this magnificent palace would definitely have burned to the ground if I had not suddenly had an excellent idea. The evening before, I had drunk a lot of wine, and I had not released any of it yet. The wine had produced a large amount of urine, which I released in such a quantity and applied so well to the proper places that in 3 minutes the fire was completely put out, and the beautiful palace saved from destruction. I returned home, sure that the emperor and his wife would be very thankful to me for what I had done. But I was wrong. I learned a short time later that the empress was extremely unhappy, and that in Lilliput it was considered a crime to make water anywhere near the palace. The empress believed her apartment was now so dirty that she refused to live there in the future. It was soon after this adventure that I received a visit from a member of the emperor's court who had become a good friend of mine. He came to my house at night, alone. Because of the great respect he had for me, he wished to warn me of a private plan which had been forming for 2 months against me at court. He told me that it had been started by Flimnap, the emperor's high treasurer, who had for a long time been unfriendly to me. He had lately managed to convince the emperor that the great amount of food I required was costing the empire a fortune. He told the emperor that I would destroy the empire if the emperor did not dismiss me. My friend, who had come to see me, informed me that the treasurer's opinion was supported by Skarish Balgalom, the high admiral, who had been my enemy since my great success against Blefuscu, because his glory as a military commander was diminished. This man, together with Flimnap, the high treasurer, had made charges against me of treason and other serious crimes. My friend read a copy of the document to me that my enemies had prepared. It said that I was guilty of making water within the grounds of the royal palace, a very serious crime, and that after bringing the warships of Blefuscu into the royal port, I had been commanded by the emperor to seize all the other ships of Blefuscu and kill all the big Indians, but that I had refused to obey this command. My friend told me that during the discussions about me, the emperor often defended me, reminding the court of the good things I had done for him, but the treasurer and the admiral insisted that I should be killed by setting fire to my house at night or with poisoned arrows shot by 20,000 men. The emperor, being against such a cruel and painful method of punishment, wished for some other method to be used. He decided that a gentler way would be to slowly decrease the amount of food given to me, so that I would grow weak with hunger and die in a few months. Immediately after my death, 5 or 6,000 Lilliputians might, in 2 or 3 days, cut the flesh from my bones, take it away in carts, and bury it somewhere far away, leaving the skeleton as a monument for the future. After warning me about this, my friend had to return home as secretly as he had come. I remained alone, feeling very frightened. I thought constantly about what I should do. It occurred to me that I was so large compared to the Lilliput population that I would surely win if I attacked them, and I might easily throw stones at the city and destroy it entirely. But I soon rejected this idea with horror, remembering the promise of peace I had made to the emperor long ago, and the favors I had received from him, and the high title of Nardak he had given me. I decided that the only option remaining was to try to escape from Lilliput and return to England. Since I was free now to walk around as I pleased, I began to take daily walks to the beach and look out at the sea. I remained in a friendly and cheerful mood at all times, so that no one would be suspicious, though I was very unhappy within myself. It was during one of these walks along the coast that I suddenly noticed, to my great surprise and joy, something that looked like a boat overturned in the sea. I took off my shoes and socks and went out to it and saw that it was a real boat, which must have been driven away from a ship by a storm. It was in very good condition and not damaged. I set sail in this boat on the 24th of September, 1701, very early in the morning, careful not to let anyone see me leave. 2 days later, I saw a ship sail on the horizon. By late evening, I came up next to the ship and saw that it was English. It's not easy for me to describe the joy I felt with the hope of once again seeing my beloved country. It was an English merchant ship returning to England from Japan through the South Seas, and the ship's crew welcomed me on board. We arrived in England on the 13th of April, 1702. During the journey, I tried to describe the land of Lilliput from which I had just come, but the captain and crew, when listening to my descriptions, thought I was crazy, and that the dangers I had experienced had disturbed my head.